We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
On the Tar Heel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Sail to left field. It's a high arcing bomb that explodes.
This is the Scott Forbes Show. Now, live from the Carolina Club, your social and business club in Chapel Hill, and your connection to fellow Tar Heels and friends of Carolina. Here is your host, Dave Nathan.
It's another edition of the Coach Forbes Show on Monday from Chapel Hill. Dave Nathan welcoming you to this week's 30-minute conversation about all things Carolina baseball, as always presented by the Carolina Club, your social and business club in Chapel Hill, and your connection to fellow Tar Heels and friends of Carolina. Coach, we're in the unique circumstance this week where we don't really have a lot to look back on, but we certainly do have a lot to look forward to, and just want to make sure that everybody had a good exam break and a good Mother's Day in your household.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully the same for you. Mother's Day was great. What a special day that is. And we've been able to get back on the field starting yesterday as a team, so that was great. And we're looking forward to this great baseball ahead.
Well, UNCG comes to town on Tuesday night. Of course, Louisville will be here this weekend. Coach, let's quickly go back a week to the last time, I guess, everybody was together at the Bosch in a 9-3 win against Campbell. Things offensively got off to kind of a slow start. It was nip and tuck. I don't think any team led by more than a run until late in the game. Take me back through the process of how you thought the game played out.
Yeah, I thought we played well. We made a mistake early in the game that I thought hurt us base running wise when Danny took too big of a turn on a ball hit right in front of him to right field. I thought we could have maybe gotten a pretty good lead right there with Reamer coming to the plate as hot as he's been. But, you know, I thought we played well, and the game was tight against a good team. Obviously, they're going to lead the Big South every single year, and they've been in the regionals, you know, pretty much every year recently. And our guys threw the ball well, and at the end, we got some timely hitting.
No question, a 5-run eighth helps Carolina to a 9-3 win. You talk about the pitching, though. Your three big arms, Caden O'Brien, Gage Gillian, and Austin Love go the full nine for you, and it felt like Caden bounced back from a rough outing a couple of days prior. Gage was his usual self, and then Austin, without the benefit of throwing on Friday, gets some work in the midweek.
Yeah, definitely. We were going to pitch Austin probably an inning or two if we played the original game on Tuesday. But then that extra day with 4 days rest, you know, I've always thought all those years being a pitching coach, 6 days is too many anyway. And I like 4 days with a light bullpen. So it was pretty much really he could have started, but we didn't want to start him. We wanted to get Caden back out there and have Austin get his work in and get him on the back end. So that was a big boost for our guys and a much-needed win. You know, when you lose five in a row like that, you just need a win.
Yeah.
To get back on track. And I thought he looked really good, especially after the first home run he gave up. You know, the first batter gave up a home run, and the momentum had shifted a little bit, and then he settled down, and it was good to see him finish the game. Because at this point, you're better off pitching in a game than you are throwing bullpens.
Love gets his sixth win of the season, strikes out seven over the final four as Carolina beats Campbell 9-3. It's interesting for Caden. He allowed both leadoff men to reach in the first and the second, but calmed down, seemed pretty effortless after that.
Yeah, definitely. His velocity has been fluctuating a little bit, but he needed to get past the bad start at Notre Dame. And, you know, Caden's been out of the bullpen all year, so his starting is different. But it was good to get him out there and get his work in because we need him to be good down the stretch for these last eight games.
Coach, back to the eighth against Campbell. I don't know if it was one of your famous hunches or gut instincts to go with Brett Santracchio to lead off the eighth, but that spurred a huge inning, and it started with a pinch hit homer.
It did. You know, we had pinch hit for JT earlier with Tyler Causey, and that one did not work out, as we know, the old 1-2-3, which hardly ever happens. But we liked the matchup then with Causey, and then I liked the matchup that Brett had against the pitcher. And that comes from, you know, the scouting reports and the time that the coaches spend. And, you know, most of the time you're leaving a guy like JT in, but there does come a time where you have to go by what you see. And if a kid's really struggling, you got to, you know, get a different matchup up there. And that was big for us for Brett to bridge the gap and hit that solo home run for us.
So the eighth begins with the solo homer. And then, Coach, you see a lot of pitches. Horvath, Frick, Castagnazzi, Tesser all reach, whether they were hit by a pitch or took traditional walks. Do you think as the season has worn on, your team is seeing more pitches than it saw earlier in the year?
Oh, yeah, no question. If you look at our strikeouts, the bulk of them came probably in the first 25 games, all the way back to that first weekend series at Virginia Tech. That weekend, I felt like 200 of them came, to be honest with you. That was just a really tough weekend. And we've worked hard on that, and our guys are really good at knowing the strike zone. So sometimes, you know, you strike out looking too many times because you're not adjusting to the umpire's zone. And this is college baseball. This is not the big league, so the zones aren't going to be great. They're just not. So we have to continue to do a better job of that. But again, you know, we're preaching to our guys to be a good hitter, you have to hit your pitches. If you hit the pitcher's pitches, you're going to have a lot of quick outs. So our guys have done a lot better job of that. They put more pressure on the defense. And again, like me and you talked about previously, if we can just continue to improve with runners in scoring position, and part of that is moving the baseball.
The Tar Heels have a chance to move the baseball on Tuesday against UNCG. We'll talk about the upcoming matchup with the Spartans as well as Louisville coming to town. Coach, you referenced the big leagues. I've got a big league question I want to ask you after the break, so prepare yourself, okay?
I look forward to it. Hopefully I can get it right.
Of course you will. That's the head coach of the Diamond Heels, Coach Forbes, with us here on the Carolina Baseball Radio program presented by the Carolina Club. And we are back after this with a special Major League Baseball question for Coach Forbes. We like Grand Slams, and you like Jersey Mike's subs. This season, the Tar Heels try to bring you both. Introducing the Grand Salami Challenge. For every Grand Slam the Tar Heels hit at home this season, Jersey Mike's subs is offering a free regular sub the following day at all Chapel Hill locations. So keep an eye on the offense all season long. Jersey Mike's a sub above. Welcome back to the Coach Forbes program. We talk Carolina baseball for the duration today. And, Coach, we're going to take a brief timeout from talking Diamond Heels. We left the audience teetering on the big Major League Baseball question I had for you coming up after our first segment. When we were growing up, no hitters did not grow on trees, and neither did home runs. Home runs were special. No hitters were special. About 25 years ago, the influx of home runs changed the game of baseball, and here we are a quarter century later in 2021, and we might need two hands to count the number of no-hitters before we get to the end of May in the big leagues. Just wanted to get your thoughts on where the game is headed at the highest level.
Man, it's just amazing to watch how good these players are. I think the one thing that has stayed the same is how hard it is to get to the major leagues and stay in the major leagues. thus the importance of going to college and getting a degree. But the game is, you know, it has changed. But on the reverse side of that, there's some things about this game that they haven't. You know, you got the shifts, you got the velocity. But then again, we talk about what would Nolan Ryan look like on these TrackMan and his spin rate. Obviously, it had been elite.
Yeah.
Bob Gibson, you know, if you're a baseball fan and, you know, what kind of exit velocity would Pete Rose have had, Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs, like they all have one thing in common. They hit the ball really hard. But, they're, you know, the one thing that's changed is guys are bigger, faster, stronger. So, therefore, you're going to have more power stuff on the mound. Guys that have the potential to strike more guys out and throw a no-hitter. And you have a guy that can lead the yard 1 through 9 anytime. He's not your traditional punch and Judy guy in the 2-hole or in the 9-hole.
In pro football and pro basketball, I think we see a lot of elements from the high school and the college game trickling up. There are elements to those professional sports that didn't exist in years gone by. How much of our sport do you see trickling up, or is it the reverse where the big leagues are trickling down to the minors and maybe even college baseball?
I think it's both. I think as a college player, coach, you still learn, you can learn the most from watching the most elite. You know, that's why at our house, for the most part, where I am a lot of times is a ball game. And I think I still learn, you know, it's a learning process watching these big leaguers and watching how good they are and watching their approach offensively or watching their deliveries on the mound. But I also think the college game is evolving from the standpoint of they're putting more stock in the college player and that player being ready when he's drafted to be in the big leagues faster because they've experienced being on their own. They've experienced a really tough schedule if it's in the ACC, the SEC. And they don't think that they're going to struggle as much if they do fail. So you see how fast they're pushing these college guys once they get drafted, especially if they're – like Michael Bush is already in AA. Mm-hmm. It's a great example. If Michael Bush would have been a high school senior, he wouldn't be in AA. It's just not the way it works because these guys have to learn to handle failure because they haven't failed.
Right.
Michael Bush failed here. He hit 230 as a freshman, so he knows how to handle it. But, you know, the other thing you're seeing now is the pro game are hiring a lot of college coaches, whether or not it is to be in development or to be just managing in general.
And that hasn't been the case historically, has it?
No, it hasn't. You had to play. You had to have pro experience. And that's just not the play, you know, not the way it is. You look at Mike Schilt. I know Mike for years, you know, the manager for the Cardinals. He ran the on-deck O's and never played a day of minor league baseball in his life. And he's the manager for the Cardinals. Derek Johnson's a good friend of mine, now is a pitching coach in the big leagues. He left Vanderbilt, and they've gone that direction more and more. I think they value college coaches, and because we now obviously also know all about the new stuff and all the data, so you have to be able to understand that. But the relationship side and how they're talking to the players and managing players, I think, is important to them.
Well, it's interesting. The game has certainly changed at all levels, and I guess we'll see where things go from here because, again, when we were growing up, I don't think we could have possibly fathomed to see some of the things that we do on a regular basis now.
No, no doubt about it. You know, that is the thing that is funny because if you go back and look, I look at spray charts when I was a pitching coach at a guy like John Jay back in Miami way back in 06, and I look at his spray chart and I'm like, why weren't we not playing a shift on this guy? It was because you were, I guess, scared to be different.
Right.
But he didn't hit any ground balls to the left side. Like, he doesn't hit a ground ball. We're just sitting there at shortstop, sitting there at third base. So now, you know, it completely makes sense. It's not reinventing the wheel. Like, play the guys where you think the ball's going to be hit. But the one thing, I had this conversation with a good friend of mine, the scouting director for the Red Sox, Mike Rickard, just the other day. The one thing that a lot of people may be losing that is hurting them is just the human element. And that's never going to change. Like, trying to figure out the toughness, you know, who can handle the big stage. You don't have an analytical measure for that. And the teams that have completely abandoned that part of it, from talking to Mike, you know, that can cost them.
That's Coach Forbes with us here on the Carolina Baseball Radio program. We'll talk more about the upcoming slate with UNCG in town on Tuesday. Louisville over the weekend. Talk about the human side of things, Coach. I want to ask you about some of the humans you've got on your roster that might be recent graduates and how you handle the transition from getting out of school but still maintaining the in-season schedule with the Diamond Heels. It can be a complicated time here in the middle of May. We'll talk to Coach about that when we return after this. Along with Coach Forbes, Dave Nathan, welcoming you back to the Coach Forbes program. 30 minutes worth of Carolina baseball conversation, sponsored by our good friends at the Carolina Club. Everyone, of course, welcome at the club. You can visit carolina-club.com to learn more about your club at Carolina as we talk to Coach Forbes about his club at Carolina. 21-21 overall, 14-16 in the ACC with a handful of games remaining before we head to Charlotte for the ACC Baseball Championship. Coach, last day of classes was last week. We get the exam period over and done with, and now you move into an interesting stretch traditionally where the baseball team is moving out of dorms and into hotels or apartments, but is that the case in what COVID has brought us this year and where your guys are already living?
Well, that's a great question because Dave and I met about that this morning. They are going to be allowed to stay in the dorms, but they have to move to a new room. So then we don't have that many that are in the dorms. Mm-hmm. So then they get to decide, do they want to stay in the dorms? And we actually pay for that out of our budget, or they can stay with a teammate that's off campus. But I only like that if there's an open room. I don't want guys on an air mattress or on a floor or on a couch. I want them to rest and be prepared for our game. So we're working through that. But as a player, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
Not that school isn't, like, great, but, you know, you just get that period of time where after practice or after a game, you're not concerned about a midterm. You're not concerned about turning a paper. It's just baseball, and this is a tough school, and our guys have had to work really hard, and they're finishing strong. So I think they'll look forward to that Friday game against Louisville where it's like, okay, my classes are done until the season hopefully finishes down the road.
Yeah, hopefully Mother Nature is going to agree with us from obviously getting the rain out of town.
Yep.
and warming things up a little bit, because this is my favorite time of the year where the seasons are changing and you've got good weather ahead for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, we've got five of those eight games at home, which is awesome because I know you know and I know, but we haven't had a home stretch. Mm-hmm. We opened up with James Madison, then we had Virginia, and then it's been home away, home away, home away, home away, four flights. So we haven't been able to really get settled in here at the Bosch and play like a 10 games in a row. So at least we've got a good amount starting back with Campbell, and we're excited about that, and our guys are excited about that.
The home record this year, Coach, 15-9. So you're playing good ball here at the friendly confines.
Yeah, definitely. And a couple of those we felt like we should have won. But, yeah, no doubt about it. Playing at home means something. It should mean something. And, you know, we have great fan support here, so our guys are looking forward to that.
Next home game, Tuesday against UNCG. That's a 6 o'clock first pitch between the Tar Heels and Spartans. And, Coach, just looking back over Coach Godwin's career, I don't know if a lot of people remember this. You probably do. He spent some time with Coach Fox at North Carolina Wesleyan back in, I think, 89 and 90. How far does your relationship go back with Coach?
Oh, man. I've known Billy Godwin since I played at North Carolina Wesleyan. And a little tidbit is when I left Winthrop in the summer of 2005, I accepted the job at East Carolina as their hitting coach and recruiting coordinator, and Billy Godwin had just accepted the job as a pitching coach. So we worked together for 17 days. We joke about it all the time. Drove all over the country recruiting, and then Roger Williams ended up leaving, going to Georgia, and Coach offered me the job to be the pitching coach here. So my stay was short in Greenville. I didn't live in Greenville. I lived in a hotel. But, man, me and Billy have been close. We've known each other. We've respected each other. He did a great job when he was the head coach at East Carolina. Obviously, they were in three of our regionals, one super regional, a baseball guy, North Carolina guy. So a lot of respect there from me to him.
Yeah, 9 years in Greenville for Coach Godwin. Five NCAA regionals. He was the 2009 Conference USA Coach of the Year. Clearly somebody that knows how to get it done at the college level and had spent, I think, the last 5 years scouting for the Yankees.
Yeah, yep. You know, and that was a great job for him, number one, but he taught me it also, you know, he told me, like Jason Howe, it taught him a ton. Because you see both sides, like we were just talking about the pro game. But I think he just missed it. He's a coach. The pro side, you don't get the relationships. You don't get to be on the field. You don't get to throw the BP. You don't get to hit the fungos. You don't need to just be around the game as much. It's more just evaluating the players. So he's enjoying it. He seems to be having a blast. He had a health scare a little while back. He had a stroke, and I think that's really given him a different perspective to try to really enjoy every day and not take it too serious.
So far, so good for the Spartans this year. 24-21 on the season, 10-14 in league play, but out of conference, 14-7. We'll see what UNCG and Carolina give us on a Tuesday. We'll take a final break, come back and discuss the weekend series with Louisville with Coach Forbes when we return. Dave Nathan welcoming you back to the Coach Forbes program. It's brought to you by the Carolina Club, your social membership club in Chapel Hill, and your connection to fellow Tar Heels and friends of Carolina. The club offers exceptional dining. It's got an unbeatable location for UNC sporting events, a full calendar of social business, family, and community affairs, and access to the club network of over 200 private clubs. Coach, ordinarily we'd be at the Carolina Club doing these broadcasts. This year we are at the Bosch, which is getting ready for play on Tuesday against UNCG, and then this weekend against the Louisville Cardinals, typically one of the better programs in the ACC, sitting in second place right now in the Atlantic Division. Cardinals have their agenda of what they're playing for at the end of the month, and obviously Carolina has its own set of circumstances it's playing for.
Yeah, I've never, you know, Dave, I've been at UNC a long time, but also been coaching baseball a long time. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like this year in our league from the standpoint of even Notre Dame. You know, you look at them, they're leading our league, but they're going to finish the season and not even have played 40 games. And I can I'm proud of the fact that we're going to play all of our 50 games. We're not canceling games to keep our pitchers fresh for the weekends, because I couldn't look our players in the eyes and feel good about that. They missed a whole season. They deserve to play 50 games. You know, we play good teams, and I think that's important. And Louisville lost that weekend against Pitt. Same thing. You know, generally this time of year, when you're in second place in the ACC, you're way ahead. But it's so jumbled right now, and everybody's, you know, somewhere around 500, slightly above, slightly below. Basically anything can happen this last 2 weeks of the season in the league, and I've never seen it. Usually it's anything can happen for like three or four teams mm-hmm. that are trying to get in the ACC tournament or trying to get in the postseason. Now, I don't think anything's secure, and I don't think, you know, besides Notre Dame, who's secure. You look at a team like Louisville, their RPI right now is bad, and they've had a lot of bad losses midweek, so this is a big weekend for them just in general.
Yeah.
Just like the rest of us.
To turn things around, you said that your schedule's good. I think you're selling yourself short, and the numbers might bear that out. I think Warren Nolan had you inside the top five last week in terms of strength of schedule. How much weight do you think that's going to carry here in a few weeks?
You know, you would hope it would carry a lot, but I don't know. You know, I don't think they can penalize teams if they didn't play because they had a COVID issue. We've been fortunate where our guys, besides Caden and Angel, you know, but obviously you look at that and you can't help but wonder, like, you know, did teams not play because a couple of their best players weren't available, which would be completely wrong in my opinion. But I'm not there. I only know what we deal with. And I can tell you that the schedule's been hard, but it's been good because we played it and it has made us better, and it's going to make us better moving forward for years to come.
Coach, we'll close on a good note here. About 30 seconds left. You got some great news on Max Carlson.
Oh, man, did we ever. We thought we had lost Max not only for the rest of this year, but possibly for next year with a full Tommy John tear. He gets out to have his surgery, and we find out it's just a detachment, just like Caleb Cozart had. So he will be full go and back in 8 months, and that's a weekend starter. So he came in yesterday with a big smile on his face. He's excited, and we also are very excited.
Well, that is great news, and we'll leave it there on this week's edition of the Coach Forbes baseball program. A big thank you to Coach and all those who listen and participate. Again, Carolina and UNCG on Tuesday, Louisville in town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And, of course, we'll have all the action for you on the Tar Heel Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.